This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Good morning and welcome to Ben and Woods.
Is what it would sound like if Stephen Woods were here today, but he is not. Best wishes out to my co-host, friend, and colleague. You heard it on Friday. He wasn't sure. He felt a little tickle in the throat. Well, once again, that tickle turned out to be strep throat. And Pauly, our executive producer, who is here. Thank you for being here, Pauly. Good morning to you.
Get your heads right on a Monday.
We were trying to speculate. How many cases of strep throat is this for Woods in the last, I don't know, like 3 years? Feels
at least three. He deals with this at least once a year, maybe even sometimes twice a year. I bet if we maybe during the commercial break, I'll search through the text messages and just type in strep and see how many pop up.
You know what? And I'm not mad at him. It's understandable. It is a hazard when you have kids who are of elementary school age going to, you know, preschool, kindergarten, that sort of time frame that you're going to get sick. In fact, our good friend Bobby Cressy, who is the, of course, stadium organist at Petco Park and friend of the show, just tweeted yesterday, "To all my fellow parents of young children, as we enter late November, I want to say best of luck with the coughs, strep, colds, HFM, fevers, and flus. The brutal gauntlet begins, and we stand together in solidarity. I hear you and see you." Woods is a member of that nation right now. I mean, you know, when you pack 20, 25, 30 little kids in a room inside all day during the winter, and they're constantly touching things and rubbing their faces and noses and sticking their fingers in their mouth, and then they come home and bring it to everybody in the house, it really is unavoidable. I went through it when my kids were that age, and now Woodsy's going through it now. So
sounds awful, and just once again, it's the best form of birth control I've ever seen.
He did go to urgent care yesterday, where they hooked him up with the good dose of antibiotics. hopefully those take effect quickly, and we would like to see Woodsy back tomorrow, but we'll let him take as much time as necessary to get his head right and get his throat right and get back to the show. It's definitely, especially post-pandemic now, the process of getting sick and deciding whether or not to come to work has become much more charged than it used to be.
And
I totally understand the argument. I saw Craig come in on Friday and Annie, and they're walking in and they hear, Woods has got a bit of a scratchy throat. And the last thing you want to do is talk into the same microphone that Woods has for the last 4 hours. Like, all right, am I going to get sick now? At the same time, Paul, if you stayed home every time you like, I might be coming down with something, I feel a little bit off, I'd miss like 25, 30 days a year where it turns out I was just tired. I was fine. I wasn't sick. Just wasn't having a great day, wasn't feeling it, but it wasn't getting sick. So you can't just not go to work every time you feel less than 100%. How do you determine whether you're actually getting sick or it's just one of those days where you just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You weren't feeling right. You can't just call in at a moment's notice and throw everybody else's life into chaos because you don't show up to work. But then you do show up to work, and it turns out, oh, yeah, I was getting sick, and I ended up with the flu or a cold or strep throat or whatever. And then everyone looks at you like you're some sort of leper and you brought disease into the building and you're like a bad person now for coming to work.
Yeah, it's tough. I think we have a fairly unique job in that we work in a petri dish of a studio. So that does change things. You're not just in an in your own office. You're not working from home or anything like that. So I do understand that because, yeah, if who was the last person sitting in this chair? I think Braden yesterday. If I heard Braden's show and he was coughing and hacking and not sounding good, and then I found out that he wasn't going to be at work today, I'd be like, all right, can we maybe disinfect a little bit? Just clean it up. Because, yeah, you don't want to get sick. I understand that. But, yeah, no, I agree. Ever since the pandemic, it's just better. It's better to be safe than sorry. You don't want to get anyone else sick. And, you know, like Mike Tyson said last week, you know, who cares? We're all going to die.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What does anything matter? What does one day of work matter?
The nihilist Mike Tyson. And, you know, I watched the fight on Friday. You watched the fight on Friday.
I did.
Everybody watched the fight on Friday. Honestly.
I tried to watch it.
Curious to hear from a few people who didn't try to tune in. According to Netflix, they had over 60 million streams for the fight on Friday night. We will certainly talk about it this morning. It was a cultural event, something that we all experienced together. And it doesn't mean that it was a good fight. It wasn't a good fight, but it's been a while since, you know, I felt like there was an event that we were all watching.
I said
like
the same.
That.
I thought it was fun to get excited for something that wasn't one of the you know, the main four sports, a baseball game or anything, a big football game, primetime game. It was something to look forward to, and they did a good job of hyping it up. Don't know how the actual fight per se was.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my thoughts on it, and we'll share those coming up at 6:35 this morning. I did see someone pointed out that you know, you've probably noticed some people, you know, signing up for new social media accounts, whether it's Blue Sky or Threads, and, you know, people are tired of the ads or whatever on Twitter, and they're just looking for something else. I certainly have seen it. I'm probably staying on there. I did set up a Blue Sky account a couple of days ago. I haven't really started posting, but someone said, this is when Twitter is at its best, when we're all watching the same thing together. And it feels like Twitter gives us a chance to all just be in the same room watching something that's going on and then commenting on it. You just throw out a comment like you would if you were at a party and watching a boxing and you got 15 people in the room and you just see something, you shout it out to the group. Just, and Twitter's a way to shout it out to more people out there and experience a big event live as a group. Even if you're sitting at home alone, it feels like, oh yeah, I'm watching this fight with my buddies. You know, they may not physically be here, but I tweet something out and someone responds and you can get into a conversation with it. And I do love that part of the real-time nature of Twitter, of X, when something like the Tyson fight is going on.
Were you live tweeting on Friday night?
I didn't really have any comments. I had a couple of times where I thought, maybe I'll say something here, but everyone was already covering everything that I was thinking of, so I just figured, I'll just keep it to myself. I've seen it a million times. I don't need to add my complaints about my stream buffering and stopping and starting and, you know, tricks and tips to try to get it going again.
I know we'll get into the night later on in the show today, but when I texted you guys, I'm like, is anybody else even able to watch this? I can't. It's been buffering for 30 minutes. This is terrible. And I can't remember if it was you or Woods. You're like, I haven't had any problems whatsoever. And then when you were like 20 minutes later, you're like, all right, now it's buffering. I kind of felt a little bit of solidarity there. Like, all right, good, it's not just me. And I know it wasn't just me. There were millions of other people dealing with it. But Netflix, you got to figure it out, man. Got to figure it
Especially
out.
Especially with a Christmas Day doubleheader of NFL football games coming up next month. And I guess they just announced this weekend that Beyonce is going to do a halftime show during one of those games. So That's all going to be streaming. And I don't know exactly how many football viewers they're expecting. 60 million is a lot. You know, the Super Bowl is about 120 million. So that's like half of a Super Bowl audience. for Netflix on Friday night, which is pretty big when you think about it.
Super Bowl, the Super Bowl audience, and then you said the average Sunday night audience like was like 20 million?
20 to 25 million,
so triple,
somewhere in there.
Somewhere in between triple.
Yeah, a regular
Sunday night game and half of the
Super Bowl. So anyway, it's a lot of people. Now, I don't know how verifiable that number is. It's not like, Nielsen ratings that were sent out. That was simply Netflix saying how many people. And if I'm Netflix, I would like to, tell everybody how many people watched my stream, because obviously they're going to try to do it again. Whether it's a rematch or another Jake Paul fight against another celebrity. I mean, people have shown they're willing to watch, which means Netflix is going to make money, which means the fighters are going to want to do it because they're going to make money. We're definitely not at the end. This wasn't the last celebrity, promoted boxing fight by a social media star that we've ever seen. There's just too much money to be made that it's over.
They did a good job of promoting it because I was definitely interested in it and even let myself believe that 58-year chance. He did not. No.
At really any point. I mean, maybe, we'll talk about it. Maybe if, like, first round he got in a lucky blow, but once that didn't happen, it was pretty much over. So yeah, we'll talk about the fight coming up later, because that's what everybody was watching on Friday night. And if you didn't, maybe you're lucky you missed a bad fight, or maybe you're not, because you missed an experience that everyone was sharing at the same time. And is that perhaps more important than being entertained by the good spectacle of sport, by just having something common that we can all share for an evening, which I thought was actually a good thing.
No, to be able to sit on your couch or whatever and watch it on Netflix is great. You didn't have to go to a bar. You didn't have to pay, an $80 pay-per-view fee or anything like that. I would have been pretty disappointed if I traveled to the fight flew out to Dallas and did the whole event like it was a big primetime boxing match, because it wasn't. It was built off social media, essentially, and It was whatever.
Anything else going on in your life over the weekend? This is you're on this week, but then you're off all of next week.
Yeah.
Obviously, Thanksgiving's on Thursday. We'll be off Thursday and Friday next week. But Woods and I are planning to be here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Health permitting, of course, Woods. But Paul, you're off all next week.
I got the senioritis kicking in this week.
I see how that works.
Yeah. 1 week from today, be heading up to the airport and going to Vegas for the week.
Nice.
Monday through Friday. That'll be the longest I've ever done Vegas, but we're going to have a good time. Excited. Thanksgiving on the road.
If you're going to be there for four nights, I suggest you don't treat them all like Vegas single day. You're going to have to back off a little bit.
We got a nice suite, so we're going to be able to enjoy the room. And if there's a couple hours where you just feel like taking a nap or just relaxing in the room, you don't feel like you're wasting precious time in your 48 hours in Vegas or anything like that. But yeah, we're excited. My wife's birthday on Monday, so we'll be heading out there. And then the rest of the family's going to fly out Wednesday, and we're going to do Thanksgiving together in Vegas rather than just the four of us sitting at our table at home. We'll all just let somebody else do the cooking this time.
Let's see. I was out at Goat Hill playing golf on Saturday morning. Ran into our friends John Ashworth and Matt Janella. Talked about next Saturday, this coming Saturday's Wishbone Brawl. We had John on last week. Bill Murray's the headliner. I think John's even a little worried about the I know he's going to show up. He says he's promised he's going to be there. He's going to play golf, and he's going to help raise some money for the North County Junior Golf Association. He did ask Woods and I if we would once again donate to their auction, and I believe they're going to put up a foursome to play golf with me and or Woods, your choice, at Goat Hill Park. We did it last year, and a couple people bid on it and won. We had a really good time, so we'll find that link and put it out for you with when it's up this week, with an opportunity to bid to play golf with the two of us and raise a little money for charity. Obviously, our golf tournament, we haven't even really started talking about next year's version, but I would imagine after the success of this year's tournament back in, June, that I'd love to return to Goat Hill and do it there. Everyone had a really good time, and it's just a fun, shorter course. We were able to get a lot of tier ones in, and everybody seemed to have a good time. So that'll be in one of the early stages of planning in 2025, and try to pick a date and get the fourth semi-annual-ish Ben and Woods Open back for next year at some point.
Yeah, looking forward to that, and looking forward to Saturday, going up to Goat Hill, hopefully seeing Bill Murray there.
Hopefully, yeah.
That's got to be stressful for John.
I think so. I think a little bit.
Because
Bill Murray.
There's just different levels of famous, and Bill Murray is definitely in that level of famous where, yeah, he could guarantee you he's going to be there, and you won't be you can't be upset if you're like, something came up, I understand it. He's now not going to be there on Saturday.
But well, you know, John did it somewhat tongue in cheek, but did say, Woods, if he doesn't show up, you're in.
Yeah.
Which I would be all in to see Woods have to compete against, you know, like real pro golfers and
Kelly
everything.
Kelly Slater might as well be a pro golfer.
Chris Riley, Letta Lindley. I mean, I would like to see Woods in that group, seeing how stressed and nervous he would get with it. Like, there's a lot of people who come out. They're standing and watching the shots. I'd be terrified to have to play in front of that kind of people. So I'm almost hoping he doesn't show up and Woods then has to grab his golf clubs and fill in at the last minute.
I'm trying to think of the most people that have ever watched me tee off ever.
And the heckle hole at our golf tournament, maybe.
I didn't play.
Oh, that's right. We didn't play.
We were just
year,
watching.
So,
yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, if you go out, at most, you have three other guys in your group. Maybe one of them has a buddy or a girlfriend or something. Like, I can't think of more than four people ever just watching me teeing off, or maybe a group behind you, so maybe eight total, but like, I can't imagine a couple hundred people just lined up, and you're like, I'm going to kill somebody, I'm going to kill somebody, I'm going to kill somebody.
I saw Caitlin Clark was playing in an LPGA Pro-Am last week, and you know, big crowd around her. She's actually got a decent swing, but she also mishits a few, and you hit a line drive right into the crowd. It's like, oh my,
that's
just the worst. Absolutely the worst. It's also a big day here for college basketball fans. The number four team in the country, Gonzaga, is in town. I'm going to be at Viejas Arena tonight. That's the plan, at least, to see San Diego State's big game. We'll talk about that coming up. We will set the menu for a Woodsless Monday edition of Ben and Woods when we come back. I believe Kelly is also off today. We have Vicky Pepper doing traffic. Vicky Pepper and her very efficient traffic reports coming up next. And then we're back with Paulie and Ben on a Monday morning. Appreciate all your tier ones tuning in on the radio, on the app, YouTube stream, however you're getting us on a Monday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pretty good day of football yesterday, and I did, yes, have the Sunday night game on while I was at work. Wasn't really paying that close attention. Chargers were blowing out the Bengals in the first half, and then all of a sudden, my eyes and ears perked up a little bit as I saw some chargering going on last night at SoFi Stadium, Paulie, when a 27-6 lead was just like gone in like 5 minutes, it felt like, and the Bengals had tied it up at 27. I'm going, oh, they're going to. They're going to blow another one, aren't they? And then it was the Bengals who bungled it up. You got to remember that the DNA of both of those organizations is incredibly hardwired for losing painfully agonizingly, but, you know, just the way sports works. Only one team can suffer an agonizing loss in a single game. Someone's going to have to
can't
win.
Lose.
And the Bengals ended up missing two go-ahead field goal attempts in, like, the last, what, 3 or 4 minutes of the game. And even though the Chargers kept giving it back to them and three and out and could not do anything, finally on that last opportunity, they went down and scored. And, you know, happy for anyone who I happen to know who's still a Chargers fan that you got to enjoy a win. And they definitely look like a playoff team. Don't know if they're a Super Bowl contending team. We'll talk about the NFL probably more in the second half of the program today. I think the Detroit Lions have clearly established themselves as the team to beat. But, you know, in the AFC, it's fairly wide open this year. Chiefs lost yesterday for the first time.
Pittsburgh looks really good, man.
Pittsburgh's solid defensively, but they didn't even score a touchdown yesterday. I mean, you probably are going to have to get into the end zone once or twice if you want to be a Super Bowl contender. So they've got some issues. The Bills looked good yesterday, but they've run into problems in the playoffs. I mean, it's fairly wide open as to who I think can get to the Super Bowl from the AFC this year. In the NFC, with the 49ers losing again, looking kind of shaky, it just feels like Detroit, this is their season. They've got the clear path to the number one seed, home field advantage. Things are breaking their way. It doesn't always obviously play out in the end that means they're going to raise the trophy at the end of the season. But at this point, we've seen enough football. They blow out the teams they should blow out. They've got pretty much a well-rounded team from offense, defense, special teams, all of it, that they are now, in my mind, the clear Super Bowl favorite. Now, that still means what, like 30%, 25%? I have no idea what the odds are at the most. But if I had to pick a team at this moment based on what I've seen through 11 weeks of the season.
We're going to kick you in the teeth.
It's this guy.
And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
It's amazing.
I love Dan Campbell so much.
Everything that he said has turned out to be pretty much true for that franchise.
He really spoke it into existence. It's been fun to watch that team develop and grow over the last, how long has he been there now? 3 years? 4 years?
I think this is his fourth season.
Year number four here. I mean, sometimes there's years where teams come out of nowhere and they just surprise you and they're good all year long and they get into the playoffs. And the Lions, you were able to like see the growth. And even in year one, you're like, all right, I think they only won like four, maybe five, six games. But you go, something's there. They've got something happening here. They make a huge blockbuster trade at quarterback for quarterback with LA. And you've just been able to see them get better and better and better. It seems like every week.
And, you know, while I haven't seen any physical biting of kneecaps, it metaphorically, it's exactly what they've done. They took their shots early, but they continued to improve. They continued to get up and get better. You know, they took that step to the playoffs last year, fought, lost, you know, another setback, but they're climbing their way, dusting themselves off, getting back up again. And now they've got what I think is potentially the best team in the NFL, just as Dan Campbell promised when he was hired, and we all made fun of him, thinking this guy is the biggest,
it's crazy,
the biggest lunatic that has ever been given an NFL head coaching job. But everything he said has pretty much been willed into existence in Detroit, and I'm happy. You know, as a long suffering sports fan who has cheered for plenty of seasons and plenty of teams of frustration and disappointment, that's a fan base that has seen a ton of disappointment over the years. Very little success for the Detroit Lions.
You do
in
have a little
history.
Bit of solidarity with those fan bases,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And I am happy for them. You know, I'm not going to consider myself one of them, but if they win, definitely not going to be sad about that if Detroit gets their championship this season. So we'll talk football, college football as well, probably coming up in around 8:35, second half of the show. On the menu today, though, coming up next, we will get into what was undoubtedly, don't tell me it wasn't, the biggest sporting event of the weekend. It was the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight. Not the best sporting event, may have been the worst sporting event of the weekend, but it was without a doubt the biggest sporting event of the weekend, and what it kind of says about us as a society that it was the biggest sporting event of the weekend. But I watched it, and I'm not going to be as much of a hater as you probably are expecting about the whole event and the spectacle of it all. But we will discuss Tyson Paul on Friday night coming up at 6:35. At 7 o'clock, some last thoughts here. We'll be about 12 hours away, 12 and a half right now, from San Diego State Gonzaga tonight at Viejas Arena. it is a big one. You know, the way it works for San Diego State is you have limited opportunities to really show yourself against, you know, top teams in the country and build an at-large resume for the NCAA tournament. This is one of those chances tonight for the Aztecs. There will be eyeballs even late, you know, on the East Coast. There will be, you know, the college basketball insiders will stay up for this one, and they will form their judgments on San Diego State based on this game, maybe the Creighton game next week, and then they probably won't watch them again until, you know, March, you know, the Mountain West tournament. They won't see a lot of Aztecs basketball, I promise. They didn't watch the UCSD game, definitely didn't watch the Occidental game, but they will be watching this one, and opinions will be formed on how the Aztecs do tonight. Now, they don't have to win, but we'll talk about what that means coming up at 7 o'clock. I have no idea if our friend John Flint is available, but we'll check in with him. Maybe I'll head over to the KSON studio during the break and
That's
see if he can come and fill in for Woods today, because we do have that Las Vegas getaway prize. Paulie's getting away to Las Vegas. You can as well if you can play Take on Woods or Take on John maybe at 7:10 today and qualify for the trip to Las Vegas. 7:20, don't do this. 7:35, we will talk a little baseball. Award season is officially here. I mean, it's kind of been award season the last couple of weeks, but the biggies begin tonight with the Rookie of the Year announcement. It is almost certainly between Jackson Merrill and Paul Skeens. Think you can flip a coin and be about as accurate in the decision and the outcome of tonight's race. I will be watching it, and you know, I'll be really disappointed if Jackson Merrill doesn't win. I will certainly understand why it happened. Paul Skeens' phenomenon that got a lot of attention. He had a really good season.
But Paul Skeens.
We know Woodsy loves Paul Skeens, but Jackson Merrill, to me, I feel like there's too many people who value the everyday position player over a pitcher to let Paul Skeens win this. So we'll hope so, man. We'll see what happens and how it comes out tonight. We'll have plenty to talk about one way or the other tomorrow, hopefully when Woods is back, but we will get into award season and not a lot of moves over the weekend in baseball, but some new news and notes that came out this morning. We can talk a little baseball in our 7:35 segment. Again, some football in the second half. Probably we'll have a Rindle report. And it's pretty much you and me for the next 3.5 hours. So
let's do it.
Buckle up. We will start with what everyone was watching on Friday night, the fight, and why I actually enjoyed myself on Friday night watching the whole spectacle of everything from AT&T Stadium.
Well, there was more than just Tyson versus Jake Paul.
There was. And we will discuss it next with Ben and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I already see the complaints about the Tyson Paul chat in our YouTube stream, and I saw him on social media, and I totally get it, Paulie. But at the same time, let's be honest. There's nothing sports fans love more than the opportunity to complain about something. It's in our DNA. If there was nothing to complain about in sports world, if we didn't have coaches making dumb challenges, if we didn't have players calling stupid timeouts at the wrong moment, we wouldn't love the sports the way that we do. It really gives us an outlet to freely complain about something without consequences for the most part. You can't complain about your boss or your coworkers, maybe privately to your spouse. You can, but you can't do it on social media. You can't really do it in the company meeting in front of the boss. I mean, you can't. It's just, it doesn't work. But
we can do it on the radio.
We can do it a little bit on the radio. It's one of the great parts of this job.
Take it easy.
But sports gives us all the freedom to complain about whatever we want, even stupidly so sometimes. I mean,
you also get to cheer and reap all the benefits of success.
Yep.
Without having to do anything.
You don't have to invest anything other than unless you're buying tickets or whatever streams you're buying. And with the Tyson Paul fight, unless you specifically signed up for Netflix just for the fight.
And you waited until 8 o'clock and only watched
the Tyson Paul fight. Honestly, I thought it was everything I was hoping it was going to be. We will talk about that coming up. Maybe you disagree with me, and that is your God-given right as a sports fan or even a spectacle fan, because I honestly, I wouldn't even take Jake Paul and Mike Tyson and rise it to the level of sport. It was spectacle, nothing more, nothing less. We will talk about it coming up. This segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Hey, San Diego sports fans, head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings. Try their new maple chipotle sauce for rich maple sweetness and a mild smoky chipotle heat, or for a bit of kick, check out the new Cajun sauce with a rich blend of spicy and tangy peppers. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs or order for takeout and delivery now with Buffalo Wild Wings. Go. Why? I was one of the most surprised fans of the Tyson Paul entire night after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Vicki Pepper.
The Glen Cordell traffic cam shows a solo vehicle collision blocking the number 4 lane on the 163 South at the 52 North. I'm Vicki Pepper with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Man, all right, we are back. She is efficient, man. Vicki Pepper gets that traffic, gets it done, gets back to Ben and Paul here on 97.3 The Fan. So, yeah, 60 million people, according to Netflix, streaming in as many as 65 at certain points to watch what was truly a very bizarre and unusual event on Friday night. And I guess it all depends on what your expectations were going in. If your expectations were for a championship-level boxing match between those two guys, I don't know what to tell you. Then your expectations were completely
ridiculous.
You know, just off the reservation in terms of what was going to happen for that evening. It was never going to be about good boxing in that fight. But guess what? If you tuned in, and I'll say I flipped it on at the very beginning just to see kind of the intro. Mm-hmm. And then my buddy Scott was in town and we went and grabbed a bite to eat. So I didn't see the, how many fights were there overall?
Three, maybe four.
I don't know. I either didn't see the first one or the first two. I got back. I tuned in time a few minutes before the women's fight started.
Yeah,
and I'll have to say I'm not a diehard boxing fan. You're not a diehard boxing fan, but I've watched at least enough. You know, growing up.
No. I was a boxing analyst on Friday night. Like, I'm assuming a lot of you were. Look, I've watched maybe five boxing matches in my entire life, like start to finish, and yet I was screaming at the television during that.
Did it feel like Amanda Serrano was robbed from a lay person's perspective? I certainly thought so.
In every sense of the
so
word.
So did the commentators that were watching, the stats that said she landed many more blows than Katie Taylor. Whatever the outcome should or shouldn't have been, every great boxing spectacle needs a horrible decision. That is one of the great things. Again, going back to your love of complaining about stuff, that was right there. We could all complain on behalf of Amanda Serrano, and as little as I know about boxing, that was one entertaining 10-round fight between those two women.
One of the best fights I've ever seen.
Who absolutely went toe-to-toe. As good as I've seen in probably decades, haven't watched a ton of boxing in the last 15, 20 years, but as good as I've seen in decades with two fighters who absolutely wanted to win, left it all in the ring, like every little bit of themselves left it in the ring.
I mean, there was a point when you thought they might call the fight when Katie Taylor had more than a couple of questionable headbutts and cut.
You had
Amanda
controversy,
right,
which is what we want, right? We want controversy. We got it with the headbutt and her trainer, Serrano. Was it Serrano's trainer who came out and just grabbed the mic? That's what she does. She headbutts and, you know, had that moment. And, you know,
it looked like her eyelid was hanging off her face and they're like, they're going to call it this
fight.
I mean,
the work that her cut man had to do. And I mean, they really got in there with those Netflix cameras.
And that was in the third round. Like,
to see her, just keeping her together for that fight. And yet she still went in there every single time. And then, you know, the point penalty against Katie Taylor. I mean, if you were watching all this, this was compelling theater. And that was real sport. That was real, genuine sport. If that had been the main fight and they had said goodnight after that, I think we would have all been pretty happy with what we got to see and witness and watch. We would have been outraged by the outcome because we don't really know anything about boxing, but everyone seemed to agree. You know, if they fight again, and I would imagine they will. I know they've already fought twice and Taylor's won both times, but I would probably tune in, maybe even pay money to see those two women fight again. I wouldn't pay money to see Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fight again, but I might pay money to see Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor get into the ring again. And they had a lot of respect for each other as well. I know Serrano left a message, you know, sent a social media message saying, hey, I'm sorry if I accused her of headbutting. I know that's just kind of how her fighting style. She's not doing it on purpose to headbutt, but it certainly took its toll on Amanda Serrano. And I thought, terrific theater for that women's title bout on the undercard. What else were you expecting on Friday night? I was expecting weirdness, like something bizarre. It's Mike Tyson. Something bizarre is going to happen that has us talking. And there were a couple of moments, but there had the one was the moment pre-fight live interview.
It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
With Mike Tyson's son conducting an interview of his dad. I thought, oh, this is interesting. I don't really know anything about Mike Tyson's son, but here he is interviewing his dad, actually getting him to see in the ring. Like, you know, back in the day, he was obviously, you know, not around or, you know, too young to remember any of Iron Mike's actual fight. So this is kind of cool. His son gets to be here and now he gets to interview him for Netflix. And they have the, you know, they go through kind of a, you know, an awkward father-son interview. And of course, then Mike walks away at the end of the interview wearing nothing but his jock strap and it's just bare cheeks hanging out for the entire world on Netflix to see. I mean,
so we were texting you, me, and Woodsy on Friday night. And that was right in the middle of my bout with Netflix's streaming issues. I just had the rotating, like, loading symbol for 20 minutes. And one of you guys were like, I can't believe we just saw Mike Tyson's ass. And I go, what? What are you talking about? So then
are you saying metaphorically? Did he show something about his character? No. Literally.
You were like, oh, Ben, you're really showing your ass. I was like, oh, I guess I missed something. And then I don't know if I saw a clip of it online or if I definitely, when it buffered and was back to live streaming, I had to go back and watch it. It was the funniest thing I think I've seen in a long time. I mean, all right, I love you, kisses him on the cheek, and then just walks away. And then the way the camera just pans out, and he just walks with his ass hanging out. Mm-hmm. It was, like, perfectly filmed. If it was a bit, if it was
staged
by Netflix.
Was it accidental or was it staged? I don't know. I don't know. I could be persuaded for either argument that it truly was Mike Tyson, who's one of the most, you know, off the rails characters we've ever had in sport.
It felt like something you would see on social media, like on a Vine or TikTok or anything like that. Like it was staged. It looked. Like
I mean,
it was
the way the camera did just follow him. Like, were they prepped? Were they like, hey, you've got to follow him as he walks away, and this is just part of the bit? Or was it truly accidental? If it was truly accidental, I mean, think about this. Mike Tyson knows he's doing a live interview in front of, well, tens of millions of people, and you don't even bother to put on shorts during the interview. Can you imagine that? Just think about that. Well, I'm about to go on television in front of what is probably going to be the biggest audience outside of the Super Bowl all year long. Should I or should I not put on pants?
Dad, you want to put some shorts on? Or
you
want to
just quickly, you know, put on sweat shorts or something? You got something back there, right? I mean, you're going to come out, you're going to fight in shorts. I'm sure you've got them. It's too much trouble to put on pants for 60 million people and do an interview. Just keep the shot above my waist. We'll be absolutely fine. So bizarre, but so what I was expecting, so what I was kind of wanting. It had the spectacle of the two fighters coming out and Jake Paul driving out in the, that green classic car, whatever it was, to In the Air Tonight, which was a troll from The Hangover, and Mike Tyson and his brother was in the car. I mean,
I saw that. I go, all right, then. Good move. Well done.
If you weren't expecting anything less that of a troll, I mean, he's one of the most trolly human beings on the planet. He's made a fortune for being one of the most trolly human beings on the planet. I would have been disappointed if he had just come in head down, you know, thanking God for this opportunity, and, you know, I'm just going to try my hardest. Of course you wanted the trolling. You tuned in for the Jake Paul experience. I know you think you were tuning in for Mike Tyson. You think you hate Jake Paul. You probably do.
We all talked ourselves into that.
But you were tuning in to see what Jake Paul would also do, and that was one of the things that he did.
Now, Carlos says in the chat, YTF was Rosie Perez there?
I don't know, but that's great, too. Well,
I think she's done a bunch of boxing commentary. Like, I think that's what she does. She was outstanding, I thought.
I thought it was great having her.
I wasn't even like listening for her expertise on the fight. It was just like there'd be a left hook and you just hear, oh, and you knew it was Rosie.
All I could think about was, our white men can't jump discussion and, you know, foods that start with the letter Q.
It's a quince.
A quahog.
What is a quahog?
But yeah, just like, it was just unexpected and quirky and weird and just part of the whole experience. And, you know, then Mike comes out and the ring announcer, that they had the build up, you know, the baddest man on the planet, Iron Mike, and the, and obviously it was a very pro crowd for Tyson, 60,000, whatever it was.
Yeah.
They wanted to see him. They wanted to cheer him. They got that opportunity. You were never going to see Mike Tyson land a brutal uppercut like he did in his heyday in the first round.
What is
knockout.
A quahawk?
You were never going to see that, but you got that moment where he got to walk into the ring. You got to see it. So younger, who never saw Mike fight, you know, you saw that. What it felt like about a Mike Tyson fight. You didn't get to see a Mike Tyson fight. You didn't even get to see close to what a Mike Tyson fight looked like. But you got the feeling, the anticipation of what we watched when we were younger, when he stepped into the ring, the excitement, the buzz surrounding everything. You got to experience that. And then the actual fight was perfect for me because it was getting, by the time they got into the ring, what was it, 8:30, 9 o'clock,
like that, yeah.
Something like that. I think it was after 9 o'clock. It was after midnight when they finally started fighting on the East Coast.
Yeah, I think they ended at like 9:30. I was texting some buddies on the East Coast, and he was like, "Oh yeah, we went over to my boy's house to watch it." And I said to my wife, "I go, it is almost 1 a.m. over there where my friends are watching this fight." And I go, "Netflix has got to. They got to obviously fix their streaming issues." And I don't know that it needed to be at 8:30 p.m. on the West Coast, you know, 11:30 midnight on the East Coast. Probably could have done it a little bit earlier.
Yes. Well, I'll say my experience was perfect. I watched the first couple of rounds, which were the best two rounds. You know, that's when Mike still had some legs.
He looked,
you know,
encouraging.
Looked,
yeah,
like I thought maybe this won't be the worst. And then the third round, you could see Mike getting tired. Jake was never gonna, you know, get close enough to let Mike land a big blow. So it was just jab, jab, duck away, run away. There was really very little boxing going on. And then I realized I fell asleep right around the fourth round and woke up again late in the seventh round and watched the eighth, and it was over. And it was like, yep, wasn't much, didn't miss much. So perfect for me. I mean, I had like almost the perfect night. I even had less buffering issues than you do. I found a pretty quick hack. All I had to do was hit pause and then go back to watch live, and it would jump. It would jump right in. It took me like 5 seconds to get it back going again if I just paused my Netflix stream and then went back to hit watch live, and it would restart and it would get going. It took me a little while to figure that out.
Yeah.
Had they not had those, you know, streaming issues, I thought it was a highly successful night for Netflix, for Jake Paul, even for Mike Tyson, who lost and then, you know, gave a really classy statement on social media the next day about being thankful for the opportunity to get back into the ring one more time. And he felt like, hey, this was a success for me. Honestly, as much as everyone wants to complain about it, my hat's off. I thought for the most part, it was what I was hoping it was. And it was exactly what it delivered on Friday night.
Was it a mouthpiece issue or were you just biting on your glove? What was that? Could you tell us?
Oh, I have a habit of biting my gloves when I fight. Yes.
Why do you do that?
I have a biting fixation.
I've heard about that. I don't want to know more.
Really? Mike Tyson has a biting fixation.
Call it a performance, a stage show, performance art, whatever it was. And you can disagree with
Did
me.
Did you think the fight was thrown or staged? I saw some clips going around of like Mike kind of landing a punch and Jake Paul sort of flinching back and giving him a look like, hey, bro, like, that's not what we're doing here. And I saw people running with that. It did feel like it was an 8-round sparring session.
Yeah.
You didn't see either. I mean, you got to think Jake Paul, at 27, 28, whatever, however old he is, he's in much better shape. He's much younger. You got to think he could have landed more punches if he wanted to.
I have no idea.
Or do you think they were both just like, hey, man, I'm getting $20 million, you're getting $40 million, let's just make this thing last. I think Jake Paul even said something like, I didn't want to hurt him, I wanted to just make this last or something.
I don't think...
Is that cheapen the event for
would
you?
Anyone would have been disappointed if it ended in a second round knockout? Either way, I mean, that would have been fascinating as well. I don't think anyone would have felt like
that's what
like
everybody
got,
was hoping for.
Yeah, exactly. They got ripped off for it, so I don't know why that they would intend on going the distance, other than, yeah, you don't necessarily want to be the guy who embarrasses Mike. I actually think Jake Paul didn't want to embarrass Mike Tyson. I think there was some respect there from Jake. As much trolling as he did and calling out as he did, in the end, I felt like Jake Paul actually respected the heck out of Mike Tyson for getting in the ring at age 58 and doing that on Friday night. And I actually thought that that was genuine. And if that actually led to the fight being worse because Jake was like, this guy is not going to be able to touch me because he's 30 years older than I am, so be it. So be it. My expectations were low, and they were exceeded. I, you know, by quite a wide margin. When you take the night as a whole,
oh yeah,
my very low, moderate expectations that I wasn't even sure I was going to watch it were exceeded.
Like I said earlier in the show, it was fun to have something other than, you know, a baseball game, a football game, to really, like, have on the calendar and get ready to
watch. I see opposite opinions. I get it. That was an awful match. Not entertaining. You know? You just get what you get out of it if you're watching something like that. All right, we'll continue. More Ben and Paul coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.